It totally stinks. It totally smells, and it's probably one of the worst places. But it's sometimes that's where Jesus wants you to be. It's the church. Find out more on this episode of Inverse.
Coming to you from Silver Spring, Maryland, welcome to Inverse, a Bible-based conversation on life's principles, contemporary issues, and thought-provoking perspectives. Now here's your host, Justin Kim, with Inverse.
You may have heard those phrases before. I'm anti-organized religion, or you met people who are anti-church, and you got to grant them, church can be kind of bad sometimes. In this episode, we're going to look at what is the function of church, and how does church play into your discipleship, into your organic relationship with Jesus. In the studio with me today are my dear friends, and we're so glad to be in the studio after all these months of social distancing. We are good to be face-to-face with each other, and even our introverted ones are getting really extroverted with some of their anecdotes. We're going to have a word of prayer with Jonathan, and we'll get into the study.
All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to invite you to be with us now, especially as we look into the Word, as we try to understand better what church and discipleship and church have to do with each other. And Lord, we just pray that your Spirit will give us insights that we haven't seen before. And Lord, bless us and our viewers in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, Israel, we've been looking at discipleship, and what are some highlights? What do you remember that are good episodes, or give us wind us up to this point?
Well, we've just finished dealing with the process of discipleship, cultivating, and we've been using the analogy of a garden, and now we're dealing with the question of
cultivating and harvesting and preserving.
And preserving, yeah, and sowing, and just the whole process as it aligns to gardening.
Okay.
And now we're dealing with
agriculture.
Now we're shifting from agriculture to fishing, and so we're going to talk about fishing for people and what happens. The main question is, when we're fishing for people, when we're working with people, what are we winning them to? Where are they going to go?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
we're going to be dealing with that today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's like a lot of negative press out there on church. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's some people who are like church goers, they love church to death, and there's others who think church as death, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what are some incorrect views of church out there? Let's start with there, and we'll get into the Bible. Mm-hmm. But let's address some of those that you guys have all encountered, and maybe you still battle with today, and we need to talk about and iron out. John?
Yeah, well, one incorrect view, or a view that maybe has been developed by the church even, is that it's a place for my two-hour weekly fix to have some kind of spiritual input or to do my dues, you know, just this is what I have to do in order to be a good Christian, check it off my list. And then as a church, we often cater to that attitude by cramming everything we can into 2 hours, and then that's it. And so it's this two-hour moment, or maybe 1 hour, who knows, a week or so, to just kind of get my spiritual high of the week.
Oh, yeah. Okay, all right. That was like a comment and disclaimer.
Yes.
But I mean, I totally agree. And there are those who have had that tradition for so long enough that they think that is part of salvation, and that's church, and that is a incorrect view. You're saying, Okay, we'll go to Israel and then Siku, because she's also wanting to chime in here.
Okay. From a pastor's perspective, I think in many situations, churches become an organization where people who were never able to make it as CEOs of big companies will call themselves CEOs of these churches.
Mm.
And I think in some
respects,
I think that's happened, at least in the United States. You know, now you have essentially the leader of an organization of volunteers, nonprofit organization. I'm the senior or the head pastor, and I have a bunch of associates that work for me, and this guy is in charge of administration.
Wow.
This guy is in charge of
disciples.
And so church has become a nonprofit.
The corporate organization. Wow. Man, if you want to comment, Israel's email address is israelramos1417@hotmail.com. I don't email that. But Siku, your incorrect views of the church.
I guess he's coming from the pastor perspective. From the church member perspective, church as a place where you come to get entertained. So we're busy watching the screen all week long and, you know, keeping my attention span engaged, and then we come to church and expect a performance, expect to be entertained for an hour or two, once a week or so.
All right, shots fired.
Appreciate it. I appreciate it.
Yep.
I don't know where to go after that. That's, I mean, these are all true. Mm-hmm. Are they bad?
They are bad because ultimately the problem, I think, the underlying foundational issue with all of these models is that they're focused on self.
Mm-hmm.
And we go to church more than not. We go to church for personal reasons, for personal development, to get our own temporary fix, to, you know, feed our egos, to, you know, get our social dose for the week.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the purpose of church at all. The, mm-hmm. the purpose of church was never for personal development, but it was rather for bringing other people into
mm-hmm,
it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And, you know, another incorrect view that falls into all of these is that we see church as a place we go to, church as a building. And, you know, especially during this COVID-19 pandemic, it has become very obvious all the churches are shut down, at least here, and the church is not a building. It is people, and it's what we do as believers in God. And so this is another incorrect view. Is the incorrect view is that it's just a building. I go to the church is that building, but not realizing the church is, you know, us.
Mm-hmm.
Every believer. Mm-hmm. So we've been looking at discipleship, and then we're looking at church now, and how do the two intersect? Why does a disciple go to church? What's the connection point? And we'll go to a Bible verse after that.
Well, there's several reasons. I think first Jesus says when he gives that, you know, what we know as the Great Commission, he says, go make disciples of mm-hmm. all people. And then he says that these disciples are to be baptized. When you look at in the New Testament church, your baptism is entrance into a church, into mm-hmm. a church into an organizational structure mm-hmm. of believers. And so the whole purpose of making disciples was to grow the actual church of Christ. And Jesus talks about the establishment of a church. Upon this rock I will build my church. And so the point of discipleship was to establish God's New Testament church on earth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they're called out. That's what, you know, the word church comes from the Greek word ekklesia, which means to be called out mm-hmm. away from, you know, the world and sin into this new, you know, kingdom of God. This is what a disciple is called out to be.
Mm-hmm.
As a disciple, you are leaving the earthly realm, so to say, the focus on self and sin, and you're now entering into this community of people who focus on Christ and on their purpose in this world.
Mm-hmm. You know, one incorrect view that I grapple with and I see often is that people who think the church as a community of the saved.
Mm.
Yes?
Mm-hmm.
I need to be a member of this church and then I'm saved.
Right.
Or the church as the reflection of the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
So when God is saying we need to grow the kingdom of God and the kingdom of God is expanding, well, that's he's talking about the church.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some church organizations that play off of that.
Yeah.
And so the church may have some saved people, mm-hmm. may not have some saved people, and then out in the world, there may be some saved people out there, and there may be some not saved people out in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So if church doesn't really help, does it help in your salvation? Is it a sign of your salvation? Do you not have to go to church? Siku, you're nodding all over. Give us some light in that respect.
All the questions
did I make
yes and no.
Okay.
It was yes, no, no, yes. That church, when you're saying that being in the church doesn't mean that you're saved, right? And I think at the beginning when you were talking about the stink and the analogy about the ark, which was when God sent the flood to destroy the whole world and there was the ark that he told Noah to build,
mm-hmm.
that was the medium of how they were supposed to,
yes.
you know, be saved. But being in the ark didn't mean that it wasn't it was a most comfortable place to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yet, in order to reach salvation, in order to attain salvation, that's the way through which God had intended for them to attain to salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And so the church may not be perfect, and may not be full of perfect people, may not be full of people who are making all the right choices
mm-hmm.
all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, through the church, God wants to do a work in our lives. So,
mm-hmm.
so that's how all over the place when you're asking your questions.
Mm-hmm, I think God is very practical too. Jesus says that the church is his body, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's the extension of his presence in this world, the Holy Spirit living in his people, sharing who Jesus is and so on. And the practicality comes in that when we are called away from the world into God's, you know, kingdom and living for him and with him, we are not just called out to hang out and, hey, this is the kingdom of God and we are so holy. No, it is for a purpose.
to spread the gospel. And that has to happen in a more organized fashion if we want to be effective. And so the church is a tool, an organization that for the purpose of spreading the truth about God and His love to the world so that the world is prepared when He comes.
I love that we've talked about what the church isn't, and Jonathan, you brought us back to what the church really is. It is the body of God, the body of Christ. And I love that there is a mission statement of the church is to spread the gospel. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people who are out there who are anti-organized religion, and they're not really anti the organization or the religion. They're anti the mission of that particular organization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It may be for financial gain. It may be for property gain. It may be for to dominate another society or whatnot. And these are abuses that religion has done. But real Bible religion is to spread the gospel of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Yes?
Yeah. And in many cases, actually, what Jesus is saying in Scripture really has, you know, it exposes the very same sins that society is exposing.
They're addressing the same perspective,
right? But the issue is that Christ never intended the church to do that.
Mm.
You know, society, government exists in order to bring about, the ideals of a society, right? We're part of a country, and this
bring
country
about change and to make it better, more prosperity, more peace,
take care of its people. And in a very similar but very different way, the church is the means by which God accomplishes the kingdom of heaven, puts the kingdom of heaven in our hearts, prepares us for the future kingdom of heaven to come, and allows us to be ambassadors in a foreign country to bring people to a country whose builder and maker is God.
So government can come into place and can enact laws and rules that govern people's behavior and then have the appearance of peace and prosperity and what good behavior. But Jesus is saying, hey, I want the same objective, but not just through force or through rules and through artificial structure, but really change on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, this is the beauty of the gospel that we can all partake in. Right. So we come back after the break. We're going to look at this interaction between Peter and Jesus and a campfire, and how that is a wonderful picture for our experience at church. Not church just as in a regular worship once a week thing, but church in the way that the New Testament portrays it. So stay with us.
Has Inverse been a blessing to you? Do you have questions, comments, or feedback you'd like to leave us? Find us on social media by searching Inverse Bible on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or YouTube. While there, join us, like us, heart us, thumbs up us. Our handle again is Inverse Bible, no spaces. Now, back to the discussion.
Hey, welcome back. We are in John chapter 17 is where we are, not where we're in, but we're going to go now, John chapter 18. And we're looking at different aspects on discipleship and in terms of church and how church fits into this. There's this very interesting phrase found in John chapter 18, verse 18. And Jonathan, if you can read that for us.
Sure.
18:18.
Says here, now the servants and officers who had made a fire of coals stood there, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself.
Okay, and then you want to compare that. Let's go to a couple of chapters afterwards. John 21, verse, I don't know where we're at. 21, verse 9. And then Siku, if you can read verse 9 for us. 21, verse 9, please.
Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it and bread.
All right. So this phrase, fire of coals, is found in only those two verses in the entire New Testament. And in the Bible, there are coals of fire, but you don't have fire of coals.
Mm-hmm.
And so John is very, very intentionally bringing these two experiences together. What do those two passages have anything to do with each other?
Mm-hmm. Well, the first passage is dealing with the betrayal of Christ. You know, Peter's betrayal of Christ, and there's the book The Desire of Ages speaks very profoundly about this. Mm-hmm. You know, and it portrays the fact that as Peter warmed himself, and people asked him, "Hey, aren't you one of the disciples of Jesus?" And then he denied Christ, and it was then that the rooster crowed, and then he actually looked and saw Jesus at that very moment, and Jesus saw Peter. And the Desire of Ages talks about a sacrilegious hand slapping the face of Christ as he encounters the face of Peter. So this is Peter's you know, it's the apex of Peter's brokenness. You know, as a matter of fact, later on in a different book, I think the book Education will then say that if Jesus had given Peter any other look except the look of compassion, what would have made the difference? He would have just been like another Judas, right? Mm. And so you have the apex of the brokenness of Peter, and
which is a powerful point that Jesus is thinking about Peter's future and his heart and his spiritual condition and his life, even though he's being in the midst of the betrayal and he's about to die himself. Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Right. And that's, I think that's part of the fact. I mean, if anyone places himself in that situation, of course, I mean, you would be suicidal, right? Mm-hmm. Like you've just said, Master, I'm not going to betray you. The law men betray you. And then boom, this happens. And then you have these coals. And you fast forward that. Jesus died. He's resurrected. And now you're back in that same exact setting, right? Mm-hmm. And you're Peter. You're in that same exact setting. There are those coals. Now you have the same encounter, face-to-face encounter with Jesus. Mm-hmm. And Jesus then asks the question to Peter, do you love me? Then feed my flock. Do you love me? Then feed my flock. Do you love me? Then feed my flock. And so to me, this is a powerful illustration of the fact that these coals represent the restoration of Peter from his fallenness mm-hmm. to now a leader in the church, still broken, you know, still faulty, but restored to do the service of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And this is what I think church represents for us.
Mm-hmm.
We're fallen human beings. We've betrayed Jesus, I mean, in ways as bad or worse than Peter. And then Jesus is constantly saying, come to communion with me. Come to the coals of fire. And there have restoration. Allow me to restore you, to build your own confidence, to build the confidence of the people that know you've betrayed me, and to commission you to do my work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the church is not a community of the saved and of the elite and then the one that stay clean from everyone, but is a community of grace that accepts and is part of that transformation process by God's grace. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I know I'm saying a lot here, but this I have to say this because it goes right against the pastor as the CEO, right? I mean, here, Peter is exposed in his most vulnerable way, you know? Like, Peter, in front of all your friends, do you love me? And everybody knows, like, dude, you remember how you just betrayed him? Mm-hmm. Do you love me more than these guys love me? You know I love you, right? And in his most vulnerable time, Jesus says, right, you're called to feed my flock. And these ideas that we have of Peter being infallible and the Pope and all these different things, they go against the narrative of Scripture.
Yeah. Mm.
And this is the beauty of the church.
Mm-hmm. This is a great example here for each and all of us. I mean, we're all like Peter. We have all betrayed Christ. We have all fallen short, you know? And so in that sense, it is so beautiful to see the compassion of Christ, to see how he invites us into this communion experience. And this is what church is about. To be invited, as you said, into a community of grace where there's, you know, healing, there's forgiveness, there's training, and then there for the purpose of then co-laboring and becoming, you know, an effective disciple and fisher of men. I mean, Jesus was roasting some fish. They were fishing. They had another miracle. It's just Jesus is very intentional in how he sets up the situation, reminding these guys of what he has called them to do, even after, because it was not just Peter who rejected Jesus. Mm-hmm. All of them ran away.
Mm-hmm.
They all felt guilty and shameful. Even, you know, you think of the resurrection. They didn't even believe that he was resurrected.
Mm-hmm.
So, but Jesus, this is so beautiful about his character. This is how he treats us. We can see ourselves in this story and know that church is a place of grace, of learning and growing, and for the purpose of them becoming fishers of men.
Mm-hmm.
And looking at, you spoke of this contrast between Peter's experience and then Judas.
Mm.
I remember for the testimony of Israel, that Peter, when he receives that look of compassion from Christ, there's a level of he had to accept the grace that was being offered to him by Jesus. Rather than stand pridefully and, you know, my ideas were thwarted or what I thought Jesus should be, you know, didn't come about to be. So there was a level of humility that Peter had to accept the brokenness and you know, accept being broken, I guess, through that experience. And then sitting at the feet of Jesus, sitting with Jesus by those coals of fire, again, sitting in the same context in which he had come face to face with his fragility, with his failures, with his weakness. Mm-hmm. The man who said, even though all men will forsake you, I will not forsake you. Mm-hmm. And sitting there in that context, and now he has to accept that I said I loved him before, but now I'm going to say it. Do I really mean it? You know?
Mm-hmm.
So accepting our own weakness in the face of, you know, Christ's faithfulness,
mm-hmm.
I think is a beginning place for what a church environment ought to be, because when we realize that we are weak and we are broken,
mm-hmm.
then we're in a place to accept other people who are weak and broken,
mm-hmm.
not because we're strong, yeah, but yeah. because Jesus has accepted me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what becomes a foundation for creating this community of acceptance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And outside of that, there's no way I can accept somebody else's broken because I'm sitting there in judgment over them. But when I see my own brokenness,
mm-hmm.
compared to Jesus, there's no way I can be judging you.
Mm-hmm.
I just want you to see what Jesus did for me. Mm-hmm. He took me and he knew me.
You know, as you're talking, I'm thinking there is a certain disconnect because sometimes we're afraid of church because that's where all the perfect people are. But we actually need a church of imperfect, broken people who have experienced the grace of God
mm-hmm.
for me to also experience
mm-hmm.
healing.
Yeah.
But these impositions we have actually create a barrier
yeah.
for us to receive that grace. Chapter 21 is very profound. There are multiple images that Christ is creating here.
Mm-hmm.
On one level, he's trying to feed them, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you know, whatever Jesus does, something he's not doing just for the sake of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also thinking, like, is he, after he resurrected, I mean, he could have gone on to heaven and continued his ministry up there, but he's hanging out with the disciples.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's, quote, cleaning up,
mm-hmm.
right? After all the trauma and coming back. So I really see that here, verse 9, as soon as they come to land, they saw a coal of fires there. So he's actually recreating that coal of fires that Peter experienced.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Peter, and in chapter 18, I love the phrase, Peter warmed himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like the epitome of he's cold, he's just living that for himself. He doesn't care about Jesus, and he's warming himself. And then maybe every time he sees that fire of coals, he's thinking of the betrayal of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And here Jesus recreates that. What other images do you see? I see the three times he denies Jesus, three times Jesus asks him, do you love me?
Mm-hmm.
Do you love me? Do you love me? He recreates the fishing episode. He recreates the feeding, the miracle of the
yeah.
fishes and the bread.
Mm-hmm.
I love in verse 19, he says all this, and at the end he says, follow me. The first two words that called him is now the first last mm-hmm. words at the end. Just full circle.
Oh, yeah.
It's beautiful.
It causes
it's a beautiful scene.
The goosebumps, yes. What else do you guys see there?
There's something if I want to read from mm-hmm. the book, The Desire of Ages, page 815,
because
it's dealing with discipleship. And it says here, it's written by Ellen White, it says, the question that Christ had put to Peter was significant. He mentioned only one condition of discipleship and service.
Mm.
Lovest thou me, he said.
Mm.
This is the essential qualification. Though Peter might possess every other, yet without the love of Christ, he could not be a faithful shepherd over the Lord's flock. Knowledge, benevolence, eloquence, gratitude, and zeal are all aids in the good work.
Mm-hmm.
But without the love of Jesus in the heart, the work of the Christian minister is a failure. And it's essential for me because whether we find ourselves on the gifted side
mm-hmm.
or on the ungifted side, this becomes the neutralizer, right?
Mm-hmm.
There are moments when I feel like I'm not adequate.
Mm-hmm.
And the question comes to me, do you love me? Then if you love me, be my disciple.
Mm-hmm.
Feed the sheep.
Mm-hmm.
And there are moments when I feel like I have way too many qualifications than I actually do, right? I think like, mm-hmm. man, I'm pretty good. And then this ultimately neutralizes that as well, right? As funny and as crazy as it is, that sometimes we do think that we're better than we ought to. This reminds me, like, could it be that I feel like I have all these different gifts, yet I lack the one gift that is the qualification
mm-hmm.
for the essential gift? And so I love that that is portrayed in this story as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if I can just speak to, you know, something very practical, we've all been to many churches, and it's just the reality that sometimes it doesn't feel like a community of grace so much where I can be vulnerable and we can talk. Maybe we don't even have a chance to talk during church because we're just being, you know, fed and entertained, whatever it is. But I just want to encourage our viewers to consider establishing a coal of fire. Have a small group where you have a smaller setting where you can connect with people, you know, eat together like Jesus did with his disciples. Share scripture, read something in the Bible together, spend time together, and develop, you know, have your house church, so to say, because that is a place where you can be vulnerable with each other. You can grow together. You can have more of that experience, because I'm pretty sure that a lot of our viewers might not have that experience themselves, or they can join a small group. Many churches do have small groups. Mm-hmm. You know, I just want to encourage them. I've personally been so blessed through small group ministries, and mm-hmm. that is something that I can only highly recommend to anybody.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I want to piggyback on your practicality there. Jesus says in verse 15, 16, 17 there, he says, Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he says, feed my lamb.
Mm-hmm.
Second round, he says, what does he say? Tend my sheep. Third time around, he says, verse 17, feed my sheep. So it's he does the restoration of Peter, right? Mm-hmm. He's cleaning up, so to speak. And after Peter is restored, he's like, okay, now you're feeling good. See, he doesn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's giving marching orders.
Yes.
So this community of grace, and this is Peter is the leader of this community, builds this community where you accept people and you experience forgiveness and you're cleansed. And now you're dispatched out, and you need to be trained. Now you got to feed and tend, take care of others.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not only going to church to be fed, mm-hmm. but now to go and to learn to feed.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to find these communities where that are authentic and open and whatnot, but also churches that will train me,
mm-hmm.
churches that will give me opportunities to go out. And we want to encourage you out there that if you've had negative experiences with church, we want to secure our relationship with Jesus first, not the church. The church is just this external addendum that trains us on how to be more effective workers for the Lord Jesus. This has been my experience. The churches have been great. But it's when I look at churches, how can I bring other people to church and then train the church, train all of us? We can be more effective disciples for the Lord Jesus. Hopefully you've been blessed. I mean, this has been a very profound talk. I mean, we can be talking for another half hour. But you can go to inversebible.org and get our Bible study guides on the entire quarter on discipleship. You can also go to hopetv.org/inverse and look at all the past episodes. God bless you guys. We'll see you here next week on Inverse.
You've been listening to Inverse, a Bible-based conversation with Callie Williams, Israel Ramos, Jonathan Walter, Sebastian Braxton, Siku Dako, and your host, Justin Kim. Inverse is brought to you by the Hope Channel, television that changes lives. For this and more inspiring episodes, visit inverse.hopetv.org. Find us on social media, #InverseBible. Until next time, this is Inverse.